we're going to get through this and we don't want to be bitter and tired and disillusioned and angry and critical at the end of it all. We want to be on fire for God. We want to be refreshed. We want to be clear. We want to be able to come into the new world with something to offer people. We want to be energized. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want to see people come to Christ, you know, and we want to be there to serve people. So how do we do that? Right now, we need to keep our hearts right. Hey, it's Nikki Fletcher. Welcome to the Art of Worship podcast. These conversations are designed to help strengthen you as a worship leader in the context of your local church.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Art of Worship podcast. My name is Craig Heinemann, and as usual, I'm joined by my very in-demand co-host, Nikki Fletcher. How are you, Nikki?
I'm good, but I don't think I'm in demand.
I'm on the internet and I see that you're like speaking, you know, online, and then we're here just about to record the podcast and your kids are coming in and grabbing
Craig,
your jumper.
Craig, you need to get off the internet.
fair. But what's great about this episode is that we're also joined by your good friend and my new friend, Adrian Smith from Northside Church in Sydney. G'day, Adrian. How are you, mate?
G'day. I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. We're trying out new technology, and I'm on the Gold Coast. You guys are in Sydney?
Yeah, in separate parts of Sydney. Adrian's like, I don't know, 30 k's away or something, but we're all on the screen together. We're virtually together, virtually.
It's exciting.
Did you know it's Adrian's wedding anniversary today?
Oh, Adrian.
And he's recording this podcast with us.
Happy anniversary.
What could be more romantic?
What a guy. Well, it's really...
9 years today.
It's really great to have you on, Adrian, because we're going to talk about basically what's been happening in the world since the church got shut down. Hey, Nikki.
Yeah, well, services got shut down, Craig. I don't think the church got shut down.
Ooh, snap. I received that rebuke.
Doesn't it say Bible like...
The gates of hell will not prevail.
The gates of hell will not prevail against the army of the Lord. So, yeah.
Aren't you an Anglican? No, uniting. Let's just try.
Huh? I'm an Anglicostal. That's what I call myself.
Anglicostal.
Yeah.
No, I was chatting to Craig. I'm like,
yeah.
Surely you can't say the church has been shut down, Craig.
No, I take that back. We could start again, but
no, I love
we
it.
Won't. Let's.
It's good.
Let's
we're keep going. You're human. We're fallible.
Hey, I just want to say, Adrian sent me a text last night at 8:08. I know because that's how his text started off. Craig, it's 8:08. You need to stop working. And believe it or not, I was sitting in front of my computer editing Sunday's service, and I got an admonishment from my new friend, Adrian, which was quite prophetic.
Sorry.
So I'm actually looking – no, and I appreciated it a lot. So
I could have sent that to any worship pastor.
Did you just bulk send it to every worship pastor and say, stop editing and just go and say hello to your wife, which is pretty much what the text said, wasn't it?
I was on that tech loop and you actually said, stop working and go and give your wife a cuddle.
A cuddle.
Yes.
Pastor Adrian.
I actually did everything that you asked me to do. I literally pressed save, walked away, and went and showed your message to my wife and gave her a cuddle. So thank you. You changed
Pleasure.
Lives. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to say over the next hour. Nikki, take it away.
So here we are, guys, in the new world. We're 5 weeks in of church service. What do we call it? Prohibition. And we are... learning what it's like to lead worship in our homes, in our personal world. And I've been chatting to a bunch of worship leaders from around the place, just local friends and also people living overseas. And what's funny is seems like everyone in the world is going through this, or most of the world is going through this, but we've got different circumstances for different people. So we're all in it together, but then we're all kind of like falling into different circumstances and categories. It's not the same experience for everybody. And so the two groups of people that were worship leaders that I've been sort of broadly broad groups I've been talking to. One is the worship pastors who are maybe on staff at a church or they look after big teams, and all of a sudden they've gone from worship pastor to video editor, church producer, online church, I don't know, what do you call it? What is IP, the job description?
IP blocker.
IP blocker.
Copyright.
Chat room host.
Checker. Copyright researcher. Yeah. So true.
And it's like their workload has gone as doubled or tripled or quadrupled.
Testify.
And they're just kind of figuring out how to do this and make it work. And then you've got a whole bunch of other worship leaders that have been made redundant because there's no services.
Yeah.
And worship people that, you know, play on the worship team. And so their workload has lifted. Their worlds might be just as crazy and busy and you've got kids home and trying to work from home. But as far as like the responsibility to serve at church is kind of disappeared. And for some people that's been really lovely because it's created space.
A gift, and some might say.
A gift, yeah. Because it's, you know, maybe they've served their entire life in church or their entire adult life or married life, and now they've suddenly got Sundays to spend with their family. But then there's probably other worship leaders that are really struggling, having a bit of an identity crisis as how do I worship without church? How do I worship without my role? How do I worship without, you know, worship leading or whatever? So, yeah, but should we talk through that first category? Because I know that you two are probably in that category. You're the worship pastors. You're the ones trying to get church online.
Yes.
What is life like for you guys right now?
I'm going to let you go first, Adrian. You can open up the lid,
and you can agree or
sure.
You probably only agree actually.
Right.
So my title is always services pastor, which is basically just another word, a way of saying worship pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think overnight we were jolted into this. Our church didn't do online before this all happened. And so for us, this was like, A, not only are we going online, but what does the technology look like? How do we do it? We've only ever sung songs in church. So what's copyright look like now that we're putting stuff online? I've been frantic for weeks just trying to figure out like how to do this legally. but also like how to do it at all without killing everyone around me, both by overworking them or just being angry. And yes, let's move on. And so for me, it's just been, it's been quite a juggle to figure out what the heck I am doing. It's so new. Everything's new to me. And so it's hours. Like I've never video edited before in my life.
Really?
And so, yeah, never. I've always been an audio guy, so the audio is fine. But then I did the first 2 weeks in iMovie, and then I was like, surely there has to be a better way. So now I'm using Premiere, but then it's like just YouTubing. How do I use this program? Like, I don't know. Is anyone else out there feel my pain? So that's life. It's just everything's new. Everything's uncertain. There's no time frame to it. And everyone has an opinion.
Well, that is also true, and it's quite always subjective, isn't it? Like the opinions it's always quite subjective. Interesting. Why did you use that lighting? Why did you, choose that camera angle?
Waist up.
Interesting. That guitar seemed a little bit loud in the mix, didn't it?
I saw a comment on a feed on a Facebook feed of a friend who's a worship leader at their church, and the congregation members, most of them were like, oh, it was lovely, you know, we loved it, so encouraging. And then there was probably three or four in there that were like, can you play some happy songs?
Yep.
Can you not be so sad when you sing? And I was just thinking of my friend who's a worship pastor, and I'm like, oh, it's not helpful. Not helpful.
No. And I think to call it out is, like, I don't think anyone outside of the people uploading this actually recognize how long this takes to put a service together.
How long does it take?
Even if everything's pre-recorded, right?
Yeah.
It like for us, I've used this time to give our worship, the worship team a rest, which is just a decision I thought would be good. And so we're using pre-recorded worship online, which is just a copyright jungle.
So but when you say pre-recorded, you're not talking about your team pre-recording. You're talking about other churches that have already pre-recorded content, and you're packaging that together as part of your service. And we were even having a conversation yesterday about the fact that Hillsong over this time have basically given permission for churches to use their music during this lockdown season with no...
Which is unheard of, right?
It's how amazing. Seriously, those incredible guys are legends. Gift. Thank you, Steve McPherson. And
shout out.
Yes,
thank you, mate.
Yeah, shout out to
massive
Hillsong.
Shout out. So, but up until yesterday, you didn't know that you could do that, right?
No. So I'm navigating copyright, am I going to get sued for putting a worship... even using that in a sentence, will I get sued for putting worship in a church service?
Yeah, by another church.
Yes. It's just a weird world that we now live in.
How's your heart, Adrian?
How's my heart?
How's your heart?
My heart is... apparently beating at irregular rhythms for the last 5 weeks.
No, I just felt a little sense of that anger just coming through about getting sued for singing worship.
And it's not even...
Well, it's...
Go on.
You're baiting me, Nicky. You're baiting me.
Yeah, that's
sorry,
true.
Guys. Sorry.
No, it's... I wouldn't say anger. I would say I just was not prepared for this. I just was not...
What's great, Adrian, is that it doesn't matter whether or not you've been in this for 5 minutes or 15 years, everybody's on exactly the same page because the same thing happened to everybody at exactly the same time.
Yes, so, that is a comforting thought.
There are some things like navigating technology around how to go online that maybe other churches have already done that you can find YouTube videos on and stuff. But a lot of the stuff that you're navigating, you're figuring out and you're doing it at exactly the same time as thousands of other worship pastors. They don't know where to look. You don't know where to look. And everyone's just figuring it out as they go. But you're absolutely right. It's very time consuming. Things take 10 times longer than you think that they're going to take. And what's interesting is you've never video edited in your life. I used to do it for a job and it still takes me a long time. So kudos to you. But there are a lot of people there are a lot of people like you out there that are just
I'm just thankful that I have some tech knowledge, that I'm tech savvy at some level.
Mm.
I feel for, pastors out there that are trying to do this and they've got
Been a pastor
of a church for a long time.
Yeah. The stuff that you're hearing, Nicky, the comments that you're hearing from worship pastors, what sort of things are coming through in your conversations with worship pastors? And we'll tell you whether or not that's correct.
Okay, so here's some quotes.
Lying. We need a buzzer.
Here's some quotes that I've written down in my notebook when I've been listening to people that I'm friends with that are going through this. It's been really draining.
Mm-hmm.
We're working really hard to make it special.
Cha-ching. Do we have a sound effect?
Yeah, the goalposts keep changing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true too.
I probably need to look at some self-care.
I love the honesty. Yeah.
There are many appreciative congregation members. They know we're working hard, but also there's a lot of criticisms, comments, feedback. I'm feeling really sensitive and my
skin... comments and feedback and criticism thing, I find that it probably hasn't accelerated any more than on a given Sunday, only it's directed at far less people because
potentially
one person. Adrian had his hand up then. Yep.
I need to find a sustainable rhythm. It's really confronting watching and hearing myself recorded. I didn't know I was.
A big one.
What about this one? I didn't know I was such a bad singer.
Wow. Finally.
So that's an actual quote from a friend.
Sorry.
Another interesting one is it's really hard to know how effective what we're doing is online. Yeah. It's hard to know whether people are engaging, whether they're worshiping. Is this helpful? So, you know, they're the general kind of comments and concerns from the worship pastors that are trying to get in front of a camera and deliver something that's helpful to their congregation.
And some of that's coming out of the pure amount of work, and some of it's probably coming out of a certain amount of insecurity that maybe is getting highlighted or spotlighted.
So what do you think for you, Craig? What's been your triggers, your sore spots?
Wow.
Through this process?
Yeah, I mean...
Don't lie, Craig.
No, I won't. there's an awful lot of work that goes into making something happen, and people will sit down on a Sunday morning and watch it and not realize the blood, sweat and tears that have gone into piecing this sucker together. So that can be frustrating sometimes. Like, and if we're trying to pull resources from a whole bunch of different places, or things need to be changed up to keep it fresh so that people continue to want to engage with the online content, it can be kind of, that's probably, that would agree with the things that you're hearing, Nikki, around the goalposts keep moving. So whether or not it's a government announcement that changes the way that we can record worship, or you can't have that many people in the room anymore, it changes everything, and everything sort of, you're working from scratch again. So that's probably one that I'm trying to find a rhythm in. The criticisms and feedback, I've probably been leading for long enough now that they don't tend to hurt quite as much as they used to. So that's not so much for me, but I completely get it. I totally get it. I think when you turn 40, you switch off. It's like, oh no, I won't go there. But when you turn 40, I think there are certain ages you get to where you care less about what people think. And I think 40 is one of those. Not saying that I don't care what people think, it just doesn't hurt as much as it used to. And I'm probably triggered by different things now. What happened when I turned 50? Yeah, I was in denial.
It was 10 years ago, Craig.
Oh, dear.
Stop it, guys.
I'm 43. Yeah.
And Adrian, do you have anything to add to that about how you're feeling about, I mean, you're not the song leader. Let's just clarify that.
No.
Adrian's worship pastor / services pastor, which is a little bit above our pay grade, I think, a services pastor. I'm not sure what that actually is, but
either.
It's he works for a local church and doesn't.
Yeah, I'm never the guy that, like, you don't want me singing. I can play instruments, but I don't have the same attachment to leading worship as you two would and others out there. And so my identity has never been in that. My immediate feedback is whether people are engaged or not by what I see in front of me.
Mm.
It's always been about other things. That's just one metric. So I don't have that same kind of tie that you guys would, and I'm kind of glad for it, because knowing good friends that go through that, yeah. But I think the sustainable rhythms is one that's really difficult for people. I think that's quite a big one is in ministry in general, you usually get to get into these rhythms of, like, when you plan songs, when you do rehearsals, when you, like, Sunday's always coming. But nowadays there is not that. It's like midweek we want to release something, then we want to do this, and then suddenly it has to be at someone's house. And so, yeah, that messes with people. That definitely messes with me, because I like rhythms and I like structure. So that's been interesting to navigate.
You know, like, it would be fair at this point to say that, so Adrian and myself are both paid by the church.
Yes.
Nikki, you used to be, but now you volunteer. So your things are different. Like, the things that you're processing and struggling with are different as a worship team member that's not employed by the church.
Yeah.
And, like, you, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the weekend to weekend service stuff is actually done by your, I don't know what you call it, mothership, like your main campus.
Yeah.
So that's actually taken a lot of pressure off your campuses, but that probably means that you've got a lot of spare time, in inverted commas, in terms of church service, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just, I mean, we're busier than ever being, we've got kids home and we're working from home and all that sort of stuff. But
yeah,
I think there's probably a lot of worship leaders now that, you know, have their Sundays free, that are not having to prepare set lists, do rosters, you know, those things are kind of being lifted for the meantime, which is created space to reconnect with family, to perhaps take initiative to seek God for God, not for a service, for planning for a service, which is, it's not bad to seek God to plan for a service. Like, I think it's actually a healthy rhythm and routine to be, to have that sense of responsibility.
But not if that's the only thing.
But if that's the only thing, then, you know, I'm not sure that we're getting it right. If that's the only thing, I think, you know, we worship God for who he is, not for what we do for him. You know what I mean? So for me personally, the thing that I've struggled with the most is trying to understand how to engage with church and online content, church content, the overwhelming amount of content that's pushed on you every time you flick on your Instagram. It's just like, you know, everyone's got a new song, everyone's got a new this, everyone's doing a service, everyone wants you at your thing, and all those things are probably good, but I guess it makes you feel like you're missing out, you're not part of anything. I've went through last week, I got quite upset because I felt like I don't belong to anything. That sense of belonging was missing. And so just re-looking at, okay, well, who am I? I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I'm loved by God. I'm saved because Christ went to the cross for me. I'm a mother. I have a family. That's how I worship. And that's it. And that's all there is.
And is that enough?
Well, yeah, I think if I think it is, I think that is enough. That is all there is in reality, in the spiritual reality. That's all we have. And so everything on top of that is an expression, is an overflow, is an outworking of that. But if you can't find peace and rest in that place of all I have is God through Christ, then you're not really a Christian, are you?
Oof.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I think that's what being a Christian is.
Yeah. When all is stripped away.
When all is stripped away. When the music fades. And actually that song came up this week and I had it on when I was in the kitchen peeling potatoes. No joke.
Yeah.
And it blessed, it literally, like, it just spoke to my heart again. Let me read the lyrics. Can I read the lyrics to you?
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody remember this song?
Yeah.
When the music
fades.
Matt
wrote it for such a time as this. Sorry,
yeah, go. For such a time as this. I will not sing it, but I will speak it right now. When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. And then the chorus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. So, like, I mean, there's so much in that. No, that repentance. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. I've been saying that this week. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, that whole grieving process of, I have nothing, I am nothing, you know, who am I?
Yeah.
But actually it's like, I'm so sorry, Lord, that I even made it about myself, that I made church about myself, I made worship about myself, I made the songwriting about myself, I made my job about myself, when actually It's all about you. We don't know we're doing it.
We often don't know we're doing it until all is stripped away, and then you go, oh, hang on a minute. My affirmation was coming was coming from the wrong place, or
my validation, my worth. I love that line, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. And yeah. Talking to one worship pastor this week, he threw it out there to this whole group of worship leaders online, and he's like, you know what? Do we really need a song right now? Do we need an online service with three songs? Like, do we really need to sing? Like, he's like, I'm just asking the question. Like, is that what we need? And it brought me back to this song, and I'm like, it's not the song that God requires. Like, he doesn't require us to sing songs to be worshipers, to be worship leaders, to know him.
This is what I struggle with though, Nikki, because like as a worship leader who does it all the time, sometimes I'm just like, I need a break, right? But it's like, it's something that you do all the time. Whereas I'm constantly reminded by people that just go, I have no musical bone in my body. And yeah. when you wrap my heart's cry that I can't put into words, when you give me a song to express that, it opens up, you know, my heart and my soul in ways that I can't do any other way. So for me, when I go, I don't need another worship set, someone else is going, I desperately need a worship set. You know,
what they need is they need Jesus. What they need is they need Christ. What they need is they need the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the thing, like it doesn't have to come in the form of a worship set. Like, we can do church without three songs and some lights.
That's
sometimes
how people, but music is the thing that releases them to do that, right?
Yeah.
Other people would argue that, you know, they'll, you know, sit in a room and pray in tongues because that's what, you know, unlocks their soul before God or whatever. And other people use music, and other people, you know, sit on a mountaintop and look at creation or whatever. Like, there are things that God's put, that release it. So I'm with you, but I'm with you from my perspective, but I also know that other people want it. Like, often we'll have like staff meeting and it'll always be like, Craig, can you just lead us in some worship at the start? And I'm like, really? At staff meeting? and they're like, yeah, at staff meeting. Yeah.
You know what? I would be the first one to preach and advocate that like worship and singing and music changes lives. And like, that's why I've given the last 20 years for it. I totally 100% agree. But at the end of the day, when the music fades and all is stripped away, it's not a song that God requires. It's our heart. And a song is just a way. It's just an expression. It's just an avenue to get there. And it is really helpful and useful. And actually, it's a gift from God. He gave us music to release us and unlock us and speak straight to our heart, get past the mind and straight to the heart. And absolutely, like, the reason why I am a worship leader is because I've seen so many people come to Christ through sung worship, you know, through music. That's what keeps me wanting to do it. But at the same time, as a worshiper of Jesus Christ, like, if something happened to my vocal cords and they got taken out of my you know, I didn't have vocal cords anymore. Yeah, out of my throat.
Out of my left arm.
Yeah.
Someone ripped my vocal cords out of my throat.
Yeah.
You know, could I still worship God? Absolutely. Yes, 100%. Do I need music? No. Do I need, you know, so what I'm saying is,
it's awfully nice though.
It is beautiful, but like, I think what's happening is like all the frameworks and that we've like rested on that have validated us, that have propped us up, are gone for now, temporarily. And so now we're kind of like landing at the bottom and going, how do we worship? What is worship? Craig, Adrian, what do you think?
Yes. I wonder, and I don't know whether I can probe this or ask this. I think about the subculture of worship that's taken over the church just in general, by the commercialization of it, and just how big worship, let's use inverted commas, worship music has big
the industry
has gotten over the years. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just the industry. I am a big fan of. I like reading philosophy, and Peter Rowlands, this Irish philosopher, he's brilliant. He talks about how the church has always believed on behalf of its people, which is like very much old school Catholic church. I grew up in a Catholic church. Like the priest believes on behalf, and I wonder if there has been too much reliance on worship in a service, music worship in a service, where now that it is not in front of, and we've gone through this as a church too, because like we haven't got our worship people on the screen.
Mm.
And so, and when we first started, we just had a welcome, like a little prelude, the sermon, and then I would put just a worship song. Actually, I didn't put any worship song at the back. It was just like message. And more people were saying, can we get a worship song in the set? And it just started to go, there's some alarm bells here. Like, why do you need it packaged in a set for you to worship? Like, why can't you put on Spotify or YouTube or any other means that I go to get it? And I agree with both of you in that it's
very diplomatic.
I'm a guest. I agree with both of you, but I wonder if we as the church have taught that we are too reliant on someone else worshiping for us, that it's actually more passive than it is active now. And that when people are saying, can you put worship in a set, it's actually, I don't actually know how to engage with this other than to look blankly at you and potentially sing a line or two. Mm. I just wonder if there's, I wonder if maybe, just maybe, I could be completely wrong, but maybe we've done our worship an injustice in the way that it's gone about over the last couple of years. Maybe.
Did that
make any sense?
Yeah, no, it did. I'm completely happy with those musings. I think they're really valid questions to ask.
Those musings, thank you.
I actually think they're really valid. Amanda Ferguson had this definition of worship once. Worship is setting aside our preoccupation with self and focusing on God.
Hmm. Like that.
I really love that definition because I think that as worship leaders, as worship pastors or whatever, we should be leading the way in setting aside our preoccupation with self, and maybe this whole season has been a season where we've been tested in that and it's been found wanting a little bit, you know? Like that.
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, okay. Maybe it was actually more about a whole bunch of other things. Maybe it was more about how I felt out of it, you know, than I gave it credit for. And I'm discovering this as we go, you know, like this is actually, there's a bit of self-revelation that's happening. Like Emperor's
clothes.
Come on, new group, something about something. The emperor's wearing clothes and he doesn't have any. Come on.
Oh.
Help me out with the myth, the fable. Nikki, please.
I do know that one.
But you know what I'm talking about? It's not the Emperor's New Groove. That's a Disney movie.
No. He's like, he doesn't know he's naked.
That's right.
Hey, but question. Like,
yeah, that's it.
When
we should all go and read that fable. Go, Adrian.
Question for, like, especially for the both of you and obviously worship leaders listening is, when you go to pray, when you go to spend time with God, when was the last time you sat in silence and didn't pick up a guitar and sing
hello
to God? Like what? Like let's, if we're going to get to the core of this, it's actually not, it's, this is exposing the deeper longings to say, I don't actually know that I can just sit in the presence of God and not want to offer up a song thinking that that's what he wants. And that's exactly what that song's saying. Is that you, like, you actually deserve more than just these thoughts that I come up with and the beautiful words and let's come up with all the poetic vines around my heart. But, like, what does it look like? And when was the last time you just said, you know what, God, I'm just going to sit in silence for 10 minutes and just like, what are you saying? What are you, like, can you, like, what is that piece, like, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of peace, love, and a sound mind. Like, what does it mean to have a sound mind and not try and distract yourself with guitar or a lyric? Or like, what does it mean to have peace? Or I wonder if there's more to it than just the fact that worship is either we should or shouldn't have it, and what is that doing? I think it's more, I don't know that we have done our congregations or led our people or discipled well into like deeper forms of spiritual formation to go, what does silence and solitude look like? What is, rant over. I'm a guest here. I'll be nice.
No, it's so good, Adrian. It's good. And you sent through this text to us last week. It was Psalm 46, and it said, surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. And that really stuck with me, the whole be silent and stop your striving. And it feels like that, you know, the way that our culture is, the way that our age is, it's like we've always got to be on to the next thing, like the way that we interact with the online world. It just drives that striving constantly. And, you know, the Psalms teach us the opposite, which is to, like, exactly what you're saying, to be silent. And I think this period in time is that opportunity to take 10 minutes, if that's all you got, or longer if you've got more, and turn all the screens off in your house. Turn the screens over. I've been figuring out that even with like worship music and stuff, I've got my phone here. I'm waving it at the screen, or I just turn it over, and I don't like I don't even want to see it. It's just, you know, it's really distracting. It's really distracting, and I end up watching rather than engaging. And that whole idea of being silent and listening to God, and I've even found in my private worship times, because I've been attempting to lead myself in worship and the piano and just get a few songs out, which has been awesome. But actually I've been sensing God say exactly what you're saying, Adrian. It's just like, just be quiet. stop speaking, you know. And actually another person that said this was Martin Smith. I saw one of his Instagram posts recently, the beginning of all this.
Smiths.
You know Martin Smith of Delirious, or, you know, used to be
he's my uncle. We share the same last name.
Oh, yeah.
I wish he was.
But he said, I've been speaking and singing for too long now. I need to take some time to be silent and listen.
Yeah,
and it was really countercultural to everything else that I've been hearing. Then, you know, with that psalm just being sent out, it's just like, can I be silent? Can I be silent?
A couple of years ago, I went through, the closest thing that I've ever come to burnout, and ended up sleeping for about 4 weeks, pretty much 18 to 20 hours a day, and read this book, which I've talked about before, Sacred Rhythms, and it talked about solitude. And so one of the things that we did as a family was we got really strict on the whole Sabbath, you know, we're going to practice Sabbath together as a family, and we're going to introduce some of these practices. And one of the things that we introduced was a time of solitude. So So Friday night we'd have a Sabbath dinner and stuff like that. Saturday we'd be intentional together with family, no technology, that sort of thing. But half an hour we would set aside, and our kids would go to their rooms, and we'd just say, you've got half an hour just to be quiet in your rooms, no technology. My wife, Nadine, and I would find a spot and we'd just be quiet. And one of the definitions for solitude was like silent awareness in the presence of God. You're not journaling, you're not note-taking, you don't have your guitar, you don't have it. It's like people are too scared to just allow their thoughts to,
surface.
To just surface, that's right, because they're scared of maybe of what it might reveal or whatever. But the whole practice
of
solitude.
God's going, about time.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that great quote that talks about, you know, the human soul being like a wild animal that, it doesn't want to come out until there's no noise, right? And it just comes out quietly when it thinks it's safe, right? And you need silence to do that, but people are too scared with what they might find so they don't do it. And I tell you, half an hour we set aside for it and the first 20 minutes are excruciating because we're just not used to stopping. Like you're fidgeting, you're thinking about all sorts of things or whatever, but just to be still and just go, just allow yourself to be aware that God is present in that moment. It's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline, right? And it's hard. It's really, really hard. And I think that social media at the moment it's like on steroids. Like if we thought social media was bad before, it's on steroids now because more and more people are going to that as their only form of interaction with others, right? And it's just all the more reason to switch off. All the more reason, except for listening to this podcast.
Can I read a quote by Dallas Willard? Do you know who Dallas Willard is?
Yes, he's a legend.
Legend. He says, solitude, well practiced, will break the power of busyness, haste, isolation, and loneliness. You'll see that the world is not on your shoulders after all. You'll find yourself and God will find you in new ways. Silence also brings Sabbath to you. It completes solitude, for without it you cannot be alone. Far from being a mere absence, silence allows the reality of God to stand in the midst of your life. God does not ordinarily compete for our attention. And it says this, in silence we come to attend. I just love this, like, God's not going to compete. And it's only in silence that we get this, like the honesty comes out. Like, I don't like my thoughts. God, like, here you are. You're invited in, finally. Like, I can attend silent. It's like an active, love.
It's so
love
good.
Dallas Willard.
Hey, Mike Gore from the CEO of Open Doors, who, work with the persecuted church around the world. He has this line that he uses often. He says, what's more dangerous to your faith, ISIS or an iPhone? And wow.
It's great.
ISIS or an iPhone. Because iPhone distracts you. It takes you away from God. It's like, and his argument is persecution drives you to God. And Western consumerism distracts you from God. There's a book that I read by Sky Jathani. It's called With. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it before.
No.
It basically works on the premise of people live either under God, meaning in fear of judgment, right? So under God, like God's an oppressive God above you, or over God in that I don't need him. I'm completely self-reliant. For God, which is like the activist, busy, hurried, always got to be doing something on mission all the time. Like if I'm doing stuff for God, then God, loves me. And then the from God, which is like the, prosperity, God's a genie in a bottle, type perception of God. And he goes, and people normally live in one of those four quadrants, but this whole idea that God with us, God is with us and within us, and the Holy Spirit lives within us and he wants to commune with us. It's a concept that we can't grasp. It's a ripper book. And once again, it strips everything away and just highlights sometimes how far away we are from the relationship that God's actually desiring of us in this time.
Yeah. I think that one thing that I sense was just God's trying to get our attention. He's just like, he's here, he's there. And, we've become a bit zombified. we've become the devices and the modern way that we live. We're just so disconnected from our internal world, I think. And it's just the perfect opportunity to reconnect with God in a very, very real, tangible, normal, ordinary, daily way, through creation, through our families, through our neighbors, through our Bibles. I mean, hello, like we've got the Bible. They have not taken our Bibles. We've all got a Bible in our house. And, reading a quote on Instagram from the Bible does not
doesn't
have,
constitute your doesn't daily have, devotion.
Well, no, it doesn't have the same impact as seeking God out through his word, you know, and devoting yourself to that. There's one other quote, as you guys were talking about solitude, that I remember. It's from a philosopher called Pascal. He said, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." It's pretty.
That's what we meant.
Pretty intense, yeah.
So should have just started with the Pascal quote.
Really. Yeah, Pascal quote. So
succinct, Pascal. Darn you.
And you know, how do we go through the process of sin and repentance, you know, as worshippers coming back to God and saying, "Search my heart." You know, like the other day, I think it was last week or the week before, I had a really hard week. It was just one of those tough ones. And I had the anger problem and I had the internal issues going on. I couldn't get anywhere because we're stuck in the house. And I just took myself away and read through Psalm 139. "Search my heart, God. If there's like, what is going on? Know my anxious thoughts. I don't actually know and understand what's going on internally now." And sat with that awfulness in myself, exactly like what you're talking about, Adrian, like just sitting with it, not even speaking it out, just sitting with it. And then I just said, "Holy Spirit, like, can you just search my heart and let me know what's going on? Because I don't want to spend lockdown being an angry, horrible wife, you know, show me what's going on." And I just sat there in silence. Preach. And I did have my journal open, but
ask
it wasn't.
Ask your husband, he would have told you.
Oh, mate, I was not going to listen to him. I'll listen to the Holy Spirit, but I will not listen to him. Yet. No.
Fair.
So, fair. And, you know, I just said, okay, what is it? Waited. And then I just wrote one word down, control. That's my sin. My sin is I'm trying to control everything. I want to be in control of my life. I'm not where I want to be, so I'm in certain areas, so I'm resentful about that. And then, you know, and it just kind of like that 10 minutes of waiting with God, being alone in my room, sitting quietly, sitting with my own thoughts, and then asking God to take me through, to forgive my sin. It totally set me free, and it made me understand, you know what, I'm not in control of my life. God's in control. And I guess for us as worshipers and worship leaders, this is the perfect opportunity to do that business with God, to just go, all right, God, here I am. Like, maybe you're not leading every week. Great. Like, let's do the work. Like you were talking about, Craig, the open heart surgery. Like, what is it, God, that you want to fix in me? How am I going to come out? Because we want to have a vision of we're going to get through this, and we don't want to be bitter and tired and disillusioned and angry and critical at the end of it all. We want to be on fire for God. We want to be refreshed. We want to be clear. We want to be able to come into the new world with something to offer people. We want to be energized. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want to see people come to Christ, you know, and we want to be there to serve people. And so how do we do that? Right now, we need to keep our hearts right, whether you're serving 18-hour days, editing videos, or whether you're at home with your kids, cooking lasagna, and trying to get them to go to bed. You know, it's all worship. There is no different. Hypothetically. You know, there's no difference in God's eyes. And then how do we get that sustainable rhythm of I can bring myself, my life before God every single day. And then no matter what happens, we are going to flourish. Like, God is going to build his church and he's going to use us to lead other people in worship.
Preach.
Whether it's online or whether it's, hopefully it's not online, but, you know, whether it's just in small groups or whether it's, you know, without music or with music or,
Another thought around that, Nikki. I heard someone say once that the greatest desire of all of all humanity is to be fully known and fully loved. And there's only one person that promises to do that. And that's the Lord, right? And he's the one person that we don't want to be 100% honest with, yet he's the one person that promises that he will love us fully. And he knows all the warts. He knows it all. And the thing that we're scared of is probably the process of discovering that for ourselves, but it's not a shock to God. And so, like, the silence and the withdrawal and be still and know that I'm God, like, that's a, you know, that's an amazing blessing, as hard as the process might actually be at first. It certainly was excruciating for me when I first started doing it, and so much so that it's never been a habit for me because it's always painful, but it's always great on the other side of it. Bit like a workout at the gym, right? Hey, you sent through some stuff through to me a couple of days ago that you got from a friend of yours, and just kind of, it was a bit of a riff on some of the things that she hopes will come out of this whole season that we're in at the moment.
Yeah. So I got this text message from a friend who had a word on their heart.
Yeah.
She said, "I hope that this crisis will awaken our hearts to the sacred, loosen our attachment to the shiny, jolt us into new respect for freedom, transition our faith in faith to faith in God, inspire gratitude in us for the simple and the small, remind us that Jesus is our source, not our servant, expose any wealthy worries as the thorny fruit of privilege, unmask entertainment that has been masquerading as discipleship, redefine contentment with more sustainable and attainable ingredients, burn off unhealthy fat that has collected around and weighed down our faith, empower us to never again mistake abundance for obedience or emotion for devotion, shock us with spiritual shallowness and drive us anew to the depths of God's word." And then this is the last thing: "Reveal anything that, though it may sell well in Western Christianity, isn't strong enough to stand on." So, I mean, there's so much in there. I mean, every line is like,
brutal.
Wow.
So good. Wow. Hey, I was having a conversation with a friend. It might be a good place to wrap up, but I was having a conversation with a friend that was sort of, you know, we were getting philosophical about things. And he sort of said, the conversations that we're going to have with our grandkids around, you know, "Grandpa, what was it like, you know, when the whole world got shut down, you know?" Like, we're creating those stories right now. And there's a couple of narratives that we could be creating. And one's going to be like, you know, "I binged Netflix, I got fat, I felt distant from God, I, you know, spent all my time injecting conspiracy theories on social media," whatever, like, that could be one. But another narrative might be, "We grew closer as a family. I learned how to be still with Jesus. My faith grew. I stopped consuming and I started being, and I learned how to worship, and it transformed my life from that point onwards." You know, like, they're two completely different stories that we have the opportunity to intentionally create right now. We're creating those stories. And I don't know, like, even just this conversation just reminding me again the intentionality that we need to have to press into God. You know, draw near to me, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. We can't go through this season passively. We actually have to fight spiritually. You got any thoughts on that, Adrian, as we wrap up?
I think the encouragement, I want to speak to you too, but I think this will apply to other worship leaders as well, is that talent is not your ticket to God's love. Like, I think for so often we've been taught that we must use our gifts and our talents as a way to worship God, and what tends to happen over time is that we attach far too much to our talent and to our giftedness and to the outworking of that, to think that that we are loved any more because of what we're doing. And I think in this season, the encouragement to you guys and to anyone out there that's listening is to say that God loved you before you figured out you had a talent or a giftedness in music, or you had a giftedness to sing, or before someone told you you're going to be a great leader. Like, none of those things equate to greater love that God has. And so the encouragement in this season is just like, just do sit in silence and don't meditate on all the rubbish thoughts. Meditate that God still loves me even though I have those rubbish thoughts. Yeah. And that even if I never pick up another guitar, even if I never sing another song, that doesn't change the view that God has of me. Even if Sundays never go back and I'm never used again, like, that would be awful, but it doesn't change who you are. And it doesn't change the identity that God's imprinted on your heart. And it doesn't change the plan and purpose that God has for your life. I just want to, I think, to speak that. And I got a good friend, Bev Murrow, who wrote this book, Speak Life and Shut the Hell Up. And it's just to speak in existence and not to get all like too spiro or penty, but it's like to actually speak into life the things, the promises that God speaks over us. And it has nothing to do with what we do for him, absolutely nothing. And so my final thoughts is that, is just grieve the loss of what church is, how we've known church for so long. Grieve well, because it is a grief process. Enjoy the break as much as you can. And just sit in silence knowing that God loves me. No matter what, God loves me.
So beautiful. Such a good landing place, Adrian. I just want to say with that, enjoy the break. Amen. I think that going back to the, like, what is the chief end of man? To enjoy God. What is it, Craig? It's late at night now.
Come on, you do it.
The chief man's glorify chief God. End is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And it's just that sense of, like, you know, I mean, if we should probably land on a praise report. It's not all doom and gloom. I used to surf when I was a kid, and I've been able to start surfing again and go surfing with my son Jones, and we went surfing at sunrise yesterday and we surfed with a seal, and it was just like, honestly,
it's so good.
We wouldn't have done that if we hadn't shifted routines and, you know, things had been disrupted. So I think
it's brilliant.
Yeah, like, and I've noticed as well, like, you know, you've put some great posts up there, like, Adrian, just what are we thankful for? We're all sort of whinging about the disruption, but what are we thankful for? And actually, if you just sort of like nudge people are like, oh, I'm so thankful for this, I'm so thankful for that, and loving this and I'm loving that. And yeah, so
so great.
Amen.
Hey, Adrian, so good to have you on. Yes. So good to have you part of the conversation. It's really good. We had so much conversation on the phone and via text over the last couple of weeks. We thought, let's just get you on the podcast and get some of your pearls.
Thanks for having me.
So it's awesome.
I appreciate it.
No, it's so good. Hey, Nikki, we do have an email address. Hey, for people who want to contact us and maybe suggest a topic or ask a question about worship leading or just worship in general, and it's podcast@theartofworship.com.au. We'd love to hear from you. Actually, I am building up a little database of questions, so maybe we'll have a Q&A episode at some point, which would be awesome as well. Hey, Adrian, would you do us the honor of praying for our listeners and those who...
Absolutely.
For those that are tuning in, just a prayer of blessing and encouragement would be amazing as we wrap up.
Absolutely.
Thanks, mate.
God, I just thank you that you are in control, that this virus is no surprise to you, that this is no surprise that we're having this conversation or the church is running around trying to figure it out. But God, I just thank you that in this moment, I just pray for peace. I just feel like maybe that's the main thing that we need right now, is just you, God, name the Prince of Peace. That you would dwell in everyone's hearts, that you would show up in real and tangible ways, Lord, that people would find peace, that they would stop and be silent and know that you are God and that you love them, that you love them dearly. And so, God, I thank you for everyone out there. that are frantically running around trying to get church online so that people would hear your name, that people would have the opportunity to come to know you. God, would you give them energy? Would you remind them of why they're doing this? And God, may we see a unified church at the end of this, that we would see church in a better place than it's ever been. More people come to know you. And God, most of all, our heart longing to worship you in any way that we can. We pray this in your name. Amen.